Ann Wilson says there's a reason why early in her marriage, she did not verbally affirm her husband.
I was afraid to encourage him because I thought it would enable him, thinking he'll think I'm satisfied. And so I wouldn't do it. And so when I asked God that, I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I felt like he said, I want you to cheer for him. So I did a mental check for the next week. I realized I am always critiquing him and I'm always dissatisfied in my mind first. And then it just spills out of my mouth. And so, man, I went on this quest of like, I need to change this.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So have you been using your tongue to promote life in your marriage or death? We'll hear more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I heard you guys share a story. In fact, we were at an event together. You were speaking to the audience. And I think I've heard this story before, but it is such a great story. The moral of the story is we got to watch our words because our words are powerful in our relationship, right?
Yep.
But the story that gets us there, I want our listeners to hear this today.
We're laughing because it didn't end the way I thought it would.
Oh, boy.
In fact, I'm pretty embarrassed at how it ended.
Yeah, you're going to realize who the true Dave and Ann Wilson are after you listen to this.
And this winds up being one of the chapters in your book, Vertical Marriage, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We'll share this with our listeners. They're going to get a chance to hear you tell the story. But I need to, first of all, remind our listeners, if you have any interest, and I hope you do, in coming to one of our Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways this fall, this week is the week to get in touch with us. And the reason is because this week and next week, if you register for the conference, you pay for yourself and your spouse comes free. So it's half off the regular registration fee for you to attend a Weekend to Remember getaway.
That would get me right there. I mean,
you're in thrifty mode, right?
Yes, yes.
So here's a chance to get a weekend away together and to save some money doing it. Now, we do this at the beginning of the fall season just to encourage listeners. Find a weekend that you can get away. Find a location that's near you or a location you want to travel to and invest in your marriage.
Yep.
To take the time and cordon off a weekend. Everybody ought to be doing that every year, whether it's a weekend to remember or whatever. A weekend away focused on marriage every year, don't you think?
Absolutely. We talk about that in our book, actually, and we have done that every year, and I think that's one of the most important deposits we've made in our marriage.
And all you guys thinking it's the fall and I'm going to miss NFL football, you'll be home in time for kickoff. Trust me.
Well, it depends what time zone. If you're on the West Coast, you may miss the early game. Again, you can go to familylifetoday.com to find out about the special offer we're making this week. Register now, save 50%, and attend an upcoming Weekend to Remember Marriage getaway. Now, let's listen as Dave and Ann share one of the epic fails from from their marriage relationship.
Going into our 25th wedding anniversary, I had this dream of taking Ann away somewhere, but if you get to know me, I'm pretty tight with my money. I'm really cheap. I've been called a tightwad and other things. And so I didn't tell Ann this, our anniversary's in May, but like in October, I started praying, not kidding, every day on my knees in secret, asking God for a trip south, because we're in Detroit, for free. And I always said, for free. I teach this stuff. You're supposed to pray specifically, right? So, man, you want big things, you got to ask God. So I'm not kidding. Nothing happened and nothing's happening. And, you know, I'm the Detroit Lions chaplain for 33 years. So I'm like, God never answers my prayer. Why would he answer it now? I mean, I was there 0-16 in 2008. So, and by the way, little known fact, a guy emailed me last year and said, I don't know if you know this, but I just did research. You are the losingest chaplain in the history of the NFL. 317 losses. I'm not kidding. Anyway, so all that to the side. So I'm starting to think plan B because God's not coming through. And it's like January. And all of a sudden, I get done preaching one Sunday, and this couple walks up. I'd never met them. Hey, we've been here 6 years. We've wanted to meet you, blah, blah, blah. We're getting married this spring and wondered if you could do our wedding. And I'm standing there at the front of the stage. I'm like, well, you know, we have a whole process, and you need the email. And she goes, well, I sort of need at least an indication now because it's in May, and it's in Mexico, and we'll fly you and your wife down there for free if you do our wedding. I'm like, I'm your guy. You know? I actually kissed the guy on the cheek, and he's like, dude, I'm like, you don't understand. This is a miracle, right? So we end up at this resort, which is all-inclusive, which means they give you these armbands.
And Dave is in heaven.
I kept them.
Because he's like, anything free, just waving his armband around. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, you walk around, you get a Coke. It's unbelievable. Anything. Steak. There, see? Anyway, so long story short, and it's not short, it's long, is... we don't see this couple for like 3 days. And finally, we bump into Derek and Tiffany, and they're sort of perturbed. They're like, where are you guys? I'm like, what? Like, we brought you down here to interact with our unchurched
wedding party,
thinking you'd had an influence on them. I'm like, wow, what a great idea, you know? I felt so bad.
So,
you know.
So we end up going, you know how these resorts have these shows every night? And so they're like, you need to come to the show. So we're like, all right, we'll go to the show.
They said it's the newlywed game tonight. So we go backstage, there are like 10 couples, the curtains close. Everybody's like, what are we doing? We don't know. Curtain opens, MC walks out and he goes, tonight is dance competition night. So here's how the dance competition works. They play different music from different styles of over the world and they vote you off. We got voted off first. Because that's how bad we are. And then they booed as we were going to our seat because the MC said, who are you? Just wanted to, so we said, Dave and Ann, where are you from? Michigan. They started cheering. Again, we think maybe now Midwest people were there and wanted us back in because we're their rep. And so we're like, nope, we're good. We're going to sit up. But we ended up back in. We ended up in the final three.
Yeah, so at this point, now they're saying the final three will dance one at a time. And this time, we will dance 60s music, acrobatic. And what did he say at the end?
Well,
and
I
the winner,
I said, what do you mean acrobatic? He goes, the more acrobatic you are, the better chance you have of winning the grand prize. Now, he never said what the grand prize was, but we assumed it was another free trip back. And so I lean over to Ann. You've already heard she's a gymnast. Nobody there knew, but I literally lean over and I go, you end this with a one-arm push-up, we win.
And I'm like, yes.
Because she could do all those flip aerial round-off whatever
things. At that
things.
Point, I could.
So the music starts, and I'm terrible. So I just go way back here. She's running and boom.
Because I'm thinking there's a grand prize.
Oh, yeah. We're in now, man. If you're going to. So she flips.
Yeah.
The crowd loves it. She goes up like flips. All I did the whole time was like, go girl, go girl. And the crowd's loving it. So I'm like, this is awesome. Right?
So we end up, we can tell the music's coming to an end. And I'm on one end of the stage and Dave's on the other. And we're thinking like, we need to end this really good.
And I get this great idea and I just go like this. Big hula hoop circle with my arms.
And I'm like, what does that mean?
And I do it again, you know, because she's looking at me. I'm like, look.
And I thought, oh. It's that Dirty Dancing movie with Jennifer Grey. And I'm thinking, he wants me to dive into his arms. We'll be down here, but that's good. He'll catch me. We'll spin. We'll end. We'll win. And so we look at each other like, got it. So I run as hard as I can because you know as a gymnast, if you don't give 100%, you could get hurt.
I mean, she is Olympic vault running.
Yes.
And as so fast as you can be. And I'm like, this is awesome.
I go up.
And I turn around. I do my little deal.
He's gone. I smash to the floor, barely catching my face, and there's this huge thud, and the audience is like, oh!
I never even saw. I'm not kidding. I was here. I heard this. And then, you know, right in that second, I'm like, oh, she thought I was going to. So I turn around, and she's there, and the guys that work at the resort are running to her because she's like
And I am
face-planted.
I'm in so much pain. And I am laughing hysterically because I'm thinking, we are the dumbest people on the planet. And we're old. Like, what are we doing? But
we won first prize. but don't cheer too loud. You know what first prize was? Not kidding. He goes, hey, hold on. You got 2 free T-shirts. Said our Bureau Star Resorts on them.
Wow.
I paint in those T-shirts. But
here's the other part. I was in so much pain
that
night.
No, don't even tell them.
I broke both wrists. Yes. I waited till after I got home, but I was like, man, my wrists are killing me. And so we tell that.
I don't know. We just told that for you to get to know us a little bit.
But I will say this. I will say this. In marriage, all of you, you've been married. Some of you have been married a while, and you know this because you've experienced it. Your spouse will drop you. Isn't that true? Your spouse will drop you. And I think what we say to people is the hope that we found, and even through family life, is we never knew this before we became followers of Christ. God will never drop us. It may feel like he's not there sometimes, but for us, we've seen that he's always been there. He's always caught us. He's there no matter what. And I think some people don't know that. And I think that's why we're so excited to do this, because we get the chance to tell people that God is always there and he's always cheering you on and he will always catch you.
Yeah, as many of you know, the whole idea of vertical marriage is based on that sort of concept. And Bob Lapine's the reason we wrote the book.
Yeah.
Because he, if you've seen, how many have seen The Art of Marriage? So you know our 10-year anniversary story, which is vertical, horizontal. And the funny thing about The Art of Marriage is we had been telling that story at Weekend to Remembers, and then Bob said, hey, we're going to send a video crew up, and we'd like you to tell that story. We're doing this thing called The Art of Marriage. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. We're driving to our church where this video team was going to meet us.
We hadn't even showered. And I turned to Dave and I said, what are we doing today? He goes, I don't know. We're doing some
story. I said, some little thing for this Art of Marriage thing Lapine's doing. Nobody's ever going to see it. It's no big deal.
That's what he said, Bob.
That's honestly what I said. I mean, didn't shower, shave, and yet it's so perfect because it's like God takes that dark valley and says, that's where I met you. Because the whole point of the story is I realized that night when my wife said, I've lost my feelings for you, the year we're starting our church, 10-year anniversary, that I was trying to find life in her. And she's not going to be able to catch me and I can't catch her. And so vertical is basically God reminded me, if he isn't first, you'll never find life. This is never going to do it. She wasn't made to be your God. I wasn't made to be hers. It's only through Christ. I know you all know that, but that's the whole idea. And interesting thing is people are reading it. They don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting all this feedback. They're like, I thought I married the wrong person. And you've reminded me I'm looking in the wrong place. You know, that whole thing. And so many of you know this. And if you don't, I would say memorize this verse. Proverbs 18:21 talks about the power of the tongue. It literally says this, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, those who understand it will use it correctly. Because here's the thing, power of life and death means you can speak life, acceptance, affirmation, appreciation. We can speak death. And one of the things that Ann and I were doing often in our marriage is we were speaking death.
Well,
and not even realizing it.
I feel like I was way worse than you, because I really thought that by critiquing and criticizing Dave, it would motivate him and help him. And I thought I was helping the Holy Spirit. And that was not motivating to him at all. And we had been married quite a while for the first time when he said, I feel like you just constantly boo me. And I feel like I can't do anything right. And I said, are you kidding me? I am helping you. But I didn't realize how demotivating that was for Dave. And we have three sons, and I was doing the same thing, like criticizing, pointing out the things that they were doing wrong, thinking that they'll want to be better, when actually all it did was that made them want to run away from me. And so we really went through a season of learning how to do this.
Yeah, I tell you, again, we're not, you know, perfect today, but I watched her. And again, some of you have heard this as well. One of the chapters is called All I Hear Is Boo, and it's based on a story when we were speaking to a Mothers of Preschooler group, and she was asked to speak, and she said, come, just come up and speak with me. And I used that story where I felt like my whole life people have been applauding me on a football field or in life, and then I get married thinking she's applauded me by choosing me, and then I said when I come home, I feel like all I hear is boo. And that didn't go real well with her because she didn't know I was going to say that.
That's the first time I heard it was as we were doing a talk together.
Yeah.
Like, what are you saying
right
now?
That wasn't a good idea. I should have cleared that one before I got on stage. It's one of those long drive
That'll
homes.
Probably happen on the radio at some
that
point,
happen,
too.
But we can edit radio, so that's good. That's the best thing about it. But here's the thing. She really did feel like she was helping me. And I was trying to say, it doesn't feel like help. And I remember saying to her, literally on that car on the ride home, I know you love me. I do not think you like me. because you're always saying, you should do this more. And she was really on me about how I should lead the family spiritually and the boys spiritually. They're all grown now with wives and grandkids. But it felt like boo. And I'll tell you, I just told Ann, men aren't motivated by boo. Men are motivated by, and I guess women are too.
Yeah.
Speak life. And so here's all I'm saying is it didn't change in a day
no,
or a week.
After we spoke and we had that conversation, I went to God and I said, Father, is this true? Do I boo Dave? And I felt like he said yes. And I felt
yes, he did. I was praying she'd hear from God.
And I felt like
on my knees every day.
I was afraid to encourage him because I thought it would enable him, thinking he'll think I'm satisfied. And so I wouldn't do it. And so when I asked God that, I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I felt like he said, I want you to cheer for him. So I did a mental check for the next week. What's in my mind, first of all, because what out comes out of our mouths first goes here. And so I realized I am always critiquing him and I'm always dissatisfied in my mind first. And then it just spills out of my mouth. And so, man, I went on this quest of like, I need to change this.
Yeah, and here's what I'm telling you. She is my biggest cheerleader. I am not kidding. There's no one that cheers me like this woman. Again, it didn't change in a week or even a year, but over several years, and this is decades ago, she started speaking life. Here's the one big idea I wrote down. It's healthy couples choose to speak life to their spouse.
That's a big word for choose.
Happy couples, anyway, but the word is choose. It isn't, I feel this. No, you literally choose with our tongue. Are we going to speak life or death? Am I going to speak life into him, into her, or am I going to speak?
And our kids.
And we choose to do it. And healthy couples, that's a habit that you have to build in, and you have to realize there is the power of life and death. It can destroy them. It can build them up. And all I know is over time, Anne started to speak life into me. And I always try to help especially wives understand this respect thing for men. It's like she would then start to say things like this, you're an amazing spiritual leader of our home. And I'm raising my hand because it was like she's saying the bar, you're way up here. And I remember looking at her like, she's never said that. She's always said, why don't you pray more with their boys? Why don't you do a family devotion like Dennis Rainey does? Why don't you do all this?
I did say that.
She did. She literally did. But here's the thing. She started to speak these words. And I'm not kidding. When she said it, I was like here. I was like, no, I'm not. And I honestly didn't think I was very good because I wasn't. But she said this. And here's all I know. She kept speaking life, almost like belief, whether it be spiritually or just as a man or integrity or as a hard worker. Here's all I know. I rose up to become the man she said I was that I wasn't. And I've watched this. She did the same thing with her sons. I've seen it with other women with their men, and it goes both ways. This isn't just a man thing. This is both ways. Respect, love is both ways. But I've noticed this. When you speak life, it motivates people to become what you're speaking. When we speak death, it demotivates. I'm just telling you, critical words don't usually build up ever. You know, we just interviewed Scott Sauls, and he used that, you know, sticks and stones will break our bones, but words will never hurt me. And he's like, who made that up? Words destroy, and you never forget. I remember when we were just wrestling through this, one day at night we sat down at the dinner table, and Ann says, and our boys were younger at the time, she goes, hey guys, before we eat and pray, I want to say something to Dad. She turns to me and she says, thank you.
That's why I just stopped, like, thank you for providing. Thank you for, like, you put a roof over our head. You worked so hard. You put so much energy so that we can have food, so we can have a house. Like, boys, we should be thankful for Dad. And they're like, whatever.
But the funny thing is, as she's saying this, I remember looking at her. She's sitting right there, and I'm thinking, wow, what are you doing right now? And here's what I thought. Shanti Feldhahn's book was on the kitchen hutch, 10 feet behind Ann, for women only. And it's about the lives of your men and how this builds them up. So I knew she's doing what is in that book. All I can tell you is, as a man, my chest started going out and out and out. And by the time she was done, I'm like, I am the man, all right. It was just, it felt so good. And I look back, and that was one of the turning points where, I mean, that was the first of now daily, I say she's my biggest cheerleader. I remember one night, crawling in bed, late on a Sunday night, going through my head again how my sermon was that day. And, you know, it's funny, in church, Often you don't hear praise, you hear the other side or emails. Back when we started our church, we had, now not today, we had little cards that were in the program called CR cards, and it meant confidential requests, which were really for prayer requests. They became critique cards, anonymous. We used to say, if they're not going to put their name on it, we're not going to, but you know, they still stuck. And so I had gotten several in the last several weeks that basically said, you're a bad preacher. I don't know why you think this is your gift. And I sort of stuffed those away. And I remember walking toward the pulpit one Sunday and I had no confidence. Because I'm thinking, do they all think that? You know, it's one of those things. And so I'm crawling in bed that night and I shared with Ann, man, I was like, wow, maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. Why are you laughing?
This is right in the middle of my learning how to do this. And my first lesson to myself was go to God first. I'm a verbal processor. And so whatever I would think, I would just say it normally. So now I'm trying to don't say what you're thinking. And so because what came into my mind at that point, this is embarrassing to say, this is in my critiquing days, I almost said, if you would spend more time in the Word and studying, your sermons would be way better. I almost said that. So I stopped myself go to God first. And I asked, God, should I say this? And if you want me to say anything, how should I say it? And so this thought came into my mind and I said, because it really, I felt like God just gave me his perspective. And I said, I can't imagine the weight that you carry because you have thousands of people that are dependent on your walk with God. That has to be one of the hardest things in the world to carry. And it was so interesting. I just said that. Every time I say this, I get teary. And he pulled me. We were in bed at that point. And he pulled me to himself. And he whispered in my ear as he hugged me. He said, you are my life. You are my life. And I thought to myself, how much damage have I done in the past with my tongue of hurting the boys and hurting Dave? Because the truth is, God is always cheering for us. He's always on our side. He's always cheering for us. He corrects us, true, but he's still cheering for us. And so for me, it was realizing whoa, my words have so much power. It creates an atmosphere in our home. And so that was really a big test for me.
And I remember that night to this day, because I remember when I pulled her to myself, I just felt like nobody else believes in me like she does, and it doesn't matter. She is that critical. I remember the next time I was walking toward the pulpit, I was thinking, I don't really know what they think, but it doesn't matter. My woman thinks I'm great, and that's the confidence I need. And my God thinks I'm great. And it was enough to say, man, the power of the tongue is that. Powerful.
And you even said it motivated you to get in the Word.
I did exactly what she would have said that I would have never done. She said, you get in the Word, you need better. I'd have never done it, but I ended up doing it because I know, man, if you got to preach, you better. So it was like it motivated me way in a beautiful way. I remember when my youngest son was going to college on a football scholarship, so it was almost very similar to my experience. Ann says to me one night as I gave him a laptop and he's going the next day to 2 days, and she says, man, if you sent Cody an email, it'd mean the world to him. You're an amazing writer. And I go, no, I'm not. I'm not very good. She goes, no, you're amazing. You don't realize when you write stuff, it's just so well spent.
It's your heart. You really pour out your heart.
Yeah, I remember going to bed I got to write him an email. You know, I'm not that good. And then I had this thought, hey, maybe I'm pretty good. So I pulled that thing out. And I sent Cody this email, and I remember writing, I remember when I went to my first day of camp, and I was eighth string, and you're just going to be dazed, it's going to be hard, blah, blah. Sent this thing off. He never responds. Doesn't even say thanks. Did he get it? Never heard. 4 years later, he's graduating. Actually, he graduated as the third all-time leading receiver in Central Michigan football history behind Antonio Brown. So he had a great career. He's getting ready to graduate, and I get this email back from Cody, copied my email. He goes, Dad, I never told you this, but this email that you sent 4 years ago was the most powerful thing I've ever read. It got me through every single day of the last 4 years. There were many days I wanted to quit, and I pulled that out, and I kept going. Just want to say thanks. And then Ann's over there told you.
I didn't told say you. That.
But, as he's going to training camp with the Detroit Lions, guess who sends him an email the night before? Me. Her words of life changed my life. And we'll end with this. Tell the story, because it's so powerful, and then we'll end with this, because it applies to parenting, but it applies to your kids as well, about the three sons.
Yeah, I think our boys were 18, 16, and 13, and they were in a bad spot, and I was in a bad spot with them. They weren't doing very well, and I know what happened that day that made me go on this long 6-mile walk. They were in the room, and I was talking to them like, you guys need to get stuff done around here. Here I am critiquing. And they're texting each other about me. Mom is crazy right now. And then I found that out, and I'm like, oh, you guys. And I had to get out of the house because I was so offended because they're laughing like, you're crazy, Mom. So I go on this walk. I forgot that's where it started. And I am venting for about 3 miles about each one of my kids. Like, are you seeing this? Are you saying what's going on? There's no respect. I'm going on and on. And so for 3 miles, I do that. I'm on mile 4 and like, all right, the rest of the time, it's you, God, and you need to give me wisdom. And I love James 1. I love the practicality of the scripture because it says, if any of you, and this is about trials, and then it goes into, and as you go through trials, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives what? Generously. And so I'm like, I need the generosity right now of you, Father. And so as I'm going, and I'm like, I'm not going to say a word until you speak to me about my children. Because I started out with CJ, like, are you seeing CJ? Like, I don't even know what's happening with him. He's quiet. He's like quirky. And I don't know where he is spiritually. And so I'm just quiet. And then I hear this. Isn't CJ one of the most fascinating men you've ever met? And I knew this was God because I'm like, no. Like, this, surely this isn't God. And this is what came to my mind. This is so interesting. I would have never thought of this myself as I'm hearing God through his spirit. I felt like he said, he's just like Nathaniel in whom there was no guile.
When she told me that, I'm like, there's not a better description of CJ. He's just that. I'm like,
there's no pretense in him. Whatever he thinks, he says. Maybe that's like me. He says it, whatever he thinks. But there's this, and I felt like God's saying, isn't there a beauty to him that he doesn't care what the world thinks? He knows who he is in his own identity. And I was like, okay, I've never seen that. And then I was like, okay, but what about Austin? He's quiet, he's artistic, there's a little moody thing going on. And I felt like he said, isn't he just like King David? Like, he could write psalms of music, and he just has this heart that runs after me. And I'm like, really? And then I got to our youngest, and I'm like, Cody is out of control. He's so strong-willed. He always has a word. He's always doing this stuff, and I feel like he's running in the wrong crowd right now. And this was the most amazing thing to me about him, because I was most worried about this 13-year-old. It felt like he just wanted to be liked by the world. And I remember God saying to me, his middle name, Cody's middle name is Joshua. And I felt like he said, Cody is my Joshua, and he's a leader among men. And I'm like, Cody? Really? And I felt like he said, wait till you see how I use each one of your sons in their own unique identity, in their own unique way, and call it out of them, because there's greatness. And when it's so funny as we just dive in with God, how he speaks to us, and he's always breathing life into us and our children. And he looks at my children, he looks at Dave, and he's like, look at you guys. Look at who I've made you to be. Show that off, because it's me.
Well, again, we've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson share a story at a recent event. You've shared that story, obviously, in a number of settings. The response you get from people who hear you tell that story is powerful, because they get why this is so important, don't they?
I think so. And I think that I have not done a great job of this, especially at the beginning of our marriage. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I've seen the difference it has made in our marriage and in our family, too.
And I would say she's being hard on herself. Mm. She is an amazing woman who speaks life. I mean, there were decades in our marriage where it wasn't that way.
Thanks for bringing that out.
I mean, it was both ways. It wasn't just, it was both of us speaking harsh and death words. Yeah. But we want to be, not just with our kids or with each other, but with every person, we want to be a reflection of Christ, which means we want to speak life. We want to encourage and affirm and inspire people to want to be like Jesus.
You guys said it, life and death.
Yep.
It's in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
And
actually, Solomon said that,
Bob. It's true. You were quoting him when you said it. I want to remind listeners about the opportunity they have to join us this fall for an upcoming Weekend to Remember Marriage getaway. We're going to be hosting dozens of these getaways in cities all across the country this fall. And there is nothing better you can do for your marriage, even if you'd look at your marriage and say, our marriage is great. Well, keep it great by investing in your marriage. If you would say, we could use a little work, well, get away and do a little work on your marriage. We'll help you through that. If you would say, our marriage is in a rough spot, get some time away to invest in your marriage and let us help you better understand what the Bible has to say about the elements that make for a strong marriage. Go to familylifetoday.com. If you register this week or next week, you and your spouse will save 50% off the regular registration fee for a getaway. It's the best offer we make all year long. So if you want to take advantage of this special offer for Family Life Today listeners, go online to familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Say, I listen to Family Life Today. I want to go to one of the getaways. I want to save some money. Again, you can do all of that this week when you go to familylifetoday.com or call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY. We can let you know the dates and locations for the getaways this fall. You pick the right weekend and the right city, and then join us for a relaxing, romantic weekend getaway at the Weekend to Remember. Again, our website is familylifetoday.com, or call for more information or to register 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk about how a wife can show respect for her husband, even if she thinks, I don't know that he's worthy of respect. Shanti Feldhahn and Brian Doans are going to join us to talk about that. Hope you can be with us for that as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.